One minute, the energies of the day. Just take several deep breaths. Let in some of that life force energy. Take the air all the way down into your diaphragm, all the way into you. Just let yourself have a lot of energy, a lot of vitality. Remind yourself why you're here. Remind yourself why you came. 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 We're going to continue with a section that we were on last week, which is called Self-Concept versus Self. It's on page 656. And I'm starting with the paragraph that says, paragraph 5 at the bottom of page 656, says, beneath the face of innocence, there's a lesson that the concept of the self was made to teach. So, underneath your concept of yourself is a lesson. Beneath your face of innocence is a lesson. It's a lesson in a terrible displacement and a fear so devastating that the face that smiles above it must forever look away, lest it perceive the treachery it hides. And the lesson teaches this: I'm the thing you made of me. As you look on me, you stand condemned because of what I am. On this conception of the self, the world smiles with approval, because having a perception of yourself that you are what somebody else made out of you guarantees that the pathways of the world are safely kept, and those who walk on the pathways of the world would not escape. Beneath the face of a person that looks, we make up our face of innocence, the part of us that's the victim, the part of us that's acted on. And underneath that face of innocence, there's a lesson that we're trying to teach ourselves. And the lesson that we're trying to teach ourselves while looking like we're very nice and innocent is that what we're going through is somebody else's fault. Underneath the face of innocence that thinks it's the victim is a lesson that you're trying to teach yourself. And the lesson that he says we're trying to teach ourselves is that it's somebody else's fault. We are what somebody else made of us. We are what somebody else made of us. I'm the thing you made out of me. I'm what my mother made out of me. I'm what my father made out of me. I'm what my school made out of me. I'm what my church made out of me. I'm what the world made out of me. That's the lesson that I'm trying to teach myself beneath my face of innocence. And every time you blame someone else for what you're going through, the world smiles with approval. That's why usually when you're upset with somebody, it's pretty easy to get people to agree with you. or you say what you're mad at and people agree with it, or you say what's wrong with the world and people agree with you, because the world smiles with approval when you say, I'm the victim, I didn't create what's happening to me, I'm not responsible for my joy, I'm not responsible for my peace. If somebody spoke or acted differently, if my mate was different, if my boss was different, if everything about my experience was different, then I would be happy. I am the thing that circumstances and people are making out of me. Mm-hmm. Yep. And the world smiles on that, because when you take that attitude, it guarantees that you'll stay right on the path of fear that the world is on. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was paragraph 5. Mm-hmm. Everybody got that? I'm a nice person. And people just messing with me. I'm a nice person. People are just messing with me. I'm innocent. Y'all are just messing with me. Mm-hmm. And so, just like you said, Okay. Now, let's go to the next. Any questions about that paragraph? Any comments about that paragraph? Everybody clear about what it says? Okay, next paragraph. Here's the central lesson that ensures your brother is condemned eternally. Here's the lesson that guarantees that the other person is going to always be condemned, because what I am has now become your sin. What I'm going through is your fault, so I can eternally condemn you because what I'm going through is your sin. And there's no forgiveness possible for this, by the way. I mean, you've done something so bad to me, I can never forgive you. So no longer does it matter what the person does. It don't even matter anymore what the person does, because my accusing finger points at them. Unwavering and deadly in his aim. Like what? My finger is pointing to you, unwavering and deadly in its aim. It is your fault. It doesn't matter what you've done anymore. It's just your fault, period. Yours. Yours and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours. Notice how the group is half the size it was last week. We started on this session. Nothing clears out a room like blowing somebody's face in innocence. And I'm not saying that's what happened, but I've been teaching this 27 years. And there are some lessons I can always tell what the reaction is going to be to it. And it's not conscious. The Course in Miracles says it's not a conscious choice. It's an unconscious choice. It's the part of you that wants to keep you in pain, wants to keep you unaware of everything that'll get you out of it. And he says there's nothing more important to us than our face of innocence. So when you tell somebody, yeah, you look innocent, but underneath that face of innocence, you're a blaming son of a gun. Mm-hmm. And you're mad. And you point at everybody saying they're doing something to you. Now, it's like, that doesn't sound like a Christmas kind of a message. You know, that doesn't sound like what you hear in the mall. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so. But that's what I love about The Course in Miracles. It tells me what other books won't say the way that other books don't say it. And that's what I like. It's like, give it to me straight. I need to know what's going on. So, he says, and in these, I love this, in these shrouded vaults, the other person's sins and your sins preserved and kept in darkness where they can't be perceived as errors, which the light would surely show. So, when you hide your fear, then it's kept in darkness. And when you have a mistake that's kept in darkness, then you always believe it's a sin. So what's really happening between me and you is that we're making a mistake when we make a face of innocence and we blame each other for what we're going through. That's not a sin. That's an error. That's a mistake. And he says, you can neither be blamed for what you are, nor can you change the things that it makes you do, because now your brother is a symbol of your sins to you, who but silently and yet with ceaseless urgency condemning still your brother for the hated thing you are. So now you are a symbol of my anger. You are a symbol of my guilt. And I'm always condemning you for what I think you are. Mm-hmm. because I think you've done something to me, because what I'm going through is because you don't treat me better. Is there anybody here that's lived over 10 years that don't recognize this? Is there anybody in this room that does not recognize the pattern of behavior that I'm talking about? So everybody in here does recognize the pattern of behavior that I'm talking about, right?
Right.
Hello!
Yes.
Do y'all recognize it?
Yes.
Okay, talk to me. That's how we heal, is that we communicate. We communicate with each other. I'll put it this way. Whoever wants to, please communicate with me, because I need it tonight in order to stay conscious. So just sitting quietly and not responding is not going to get it tonight.
So
I need you to interact with me.
Yeah,
I'm saying I need to know that I'm not here by myself.
All right, so okay. That basically the greatest sin, from what I'm hearing you say,
okay.
is forgetting that I'm not separate from Source.
That's right.
Everybody in this room, even though we are all... appear to be different, is one of us.
But the point that this section is trying to make at this point in time, which is very true what you said, is that we make a face up of ourselves, that we say we're innocent on the outside, and then we blame people for what we're going through. Okay, on the inside. He said that's the lesson. And when you blame somebody else, he says the world approves of that, because the world is a place where everybody thinks they're in competition with everybody else and fighting with everybody else, and we fighting with Iraq, and we watching out for Russia, and we watch black folk watching out for white folk, rich folk watching out for poor. You know, it's like we all on the lookout, and we all these good people that it looks like the problem is everybody else. Okay, all right. And he says, so that means that I'm accusing you, and it's also saying that I'm condemning you for the hated thing I am. I hate myself because of you. And you really see that acted out a lot in special love relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it's like when you talk about groups like this, sometimes it's harder for people to see it. But when you bring it down to a special love relationship, which is not just two lovers, but any kind of special relationship, then you see what I'm talking about even more. Because the more special the relationship is, the more you make the face of innocence that feels like somehow or another what you're going through is the other person's fault, the more special relationship is. Okay. So the Course says that's one concept of ourselves that we make up. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when I said I needed you to be with me, then some people, if they'll be honest, that make them want to be quieter.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
That made them want to do just the opposite of what I asked for. Okay, that mechanism is the mechanism that creates that in your own experience, where it seems like when you ask for stuff, people don't do it.
Mm. Wow, girl. Mm. Wow, yeah.
Right. So if I ask for it and you're able to do it, and you feel like there's a sacrifice to do it, then that creates the state of mind that when you ask, nobody hears your call either. So every time we get together, we get an opportunity to practice being other than how we normally act, which is our problem right now. Your life is a reflection of your personality. My life is a reflection of my personality. So if you're not satisfied with your life, it's because your energy is not creating what you want. And so we need to change our concept of ourselves. And the Course says the way that we do it is, first of all, we're honest with ourselves. The first thing you have to do is tell the truth. And I'm telling you that there's a part of me that blames and believes that if people acted differently, I'd be happy. Okay, so the next, before I go to the next paragraph, everybody got that? Okay. Then it says, concepts are learned. I mean, that's powerful. Concepts are learned. Concepts are not natural. You don't have a concept until you learn one. You learned that I am a man, and you learned that I'm an African American man. That's your concept of who I am. Is it pretty much? If we just be regular, that's pretty much it. I know we got spirit. No, I don't see you as a black man. I know when I say stuff like that, it brings all of that out. Oh, I don't know you black. Oh. Okay, but let's just pretend for a minute that you do see color. And my concept of myself is that I'm a man, but I learned that. So whatever your concept of yourself is, you learned that, and it's not natural. Okay? When you take the course sentence by sentence, it's like... So concepts are not given. Concepts must be made. And not one of the concepts you have of yourself is true. Because many of your concepts come from feverish imagination.
Oh, yes.
I need a shot. Why? I got a feverish imagination, Doc. I need help. I got a feverish imagination. Okay, so some people's concepts come from their feverish imaginations, and I love this, hot with hatred. What's wrong with you? I'm hot with hatred. What? I got hot hatred. My hatred isn't cold. I have hot hatred. I hate you, and I'm hot about it. I got hot hatred. See, the problem with hatred is that if people would be willing to admit their hatred, then they would get to the love behind the hatred faster. Hatred is just another emotion. It's just another feeling. All your feelings are natural. And when you repress a feeling, then it expresses itself all out of proportion with the offense that's happened, because you've been repressing what you feel behind your face of innocence. And so you're mad, which means the part of you's got to be blaming somebody. So under the face of innocence actually is the lesson that it was saying, which is, it's your fault. And I have a concept of myself that it's your fault. And it came from a feverish imagination that was hot with hatred. Sounds like some kind of a cake. And that's just distortions born of fear. So the more afraid you are, the more your perception is distorted. The more afraid you are, the more your perception is distorted. The more upset you are, the more your perception is distorted. Like, I'm upset right now.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of anger come up in me over the last hour. And I'm letting all that anger come up, and I'm feeling that anger. That's why I'm asking for your help. Because that's a form of fear. Because the way I get past my anger is through joining. And I don't think anything is wrong with my anger. In the old days, I would have tried to hide it, pretend I didn't feel it, sit up here smiling at you. I don't feel like
it. Are you hot
with hatred? I'm hot with hatred. I'm having a feverish imagination, hot with hatred, and I guarantee you I got some distortions born out of fear right now.
Watch out, face of
it. I'm talking about, see, I'm exposing it. I mean, is there anybody else in here pissed off about something? Would you please let me know?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
There's something you wish was different. Anybody in here that wishes something was different, raise their hand. Anybody that wishes something was different, raise their hand.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That makes me feel more innocent about my anger. As long as you're not alone, you'll cool out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But if your brothers and sisters look at you like, anger? What is that? Really? Anger?
That's so good,
sir. Oh, man. I love the face of innocence.
Yeah.
The face of innocence. What do you mean?
What do you mean?
There's something in my life that I'm not happy about. I'm happy about everything. I love everybody.
Yeah.
I hope so. I root for that.
Yeah.
I support that being true for you and for me, but you can't get to the love as long as you think there's something wrong with any of your feelings. Let's see what else it says, shall we? Anybody got any thoughts or questions? So I've learned that as you study the truth, whatever you're hiding in yourself comes up to be released. So therefore, when the anger came up, I had to remind myself that was my call for love.
Mm-hmm.
And not try to analyze it and figure out where it came from or whether it's okay. It's like, this is my call for love.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if you can, you ask. And you say, help me. Like I said, help me. I said, help me.
Mm-hmm.
If a person doesn't want help, when someone asks for help that they can give, you know what they do? Nothing. The person that doesn't want help never gives it. The person that doesn't want help, they never give it. And so then there's something that loves us that'll love all of us. The me that's calling for love, the you that can't answer it,
yeah.
Or else we screwed. If we depended on each other, we'd be screwed. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, to get real, you know, it's like, because all of us are calling for love. All of us have a face of innocence.
Yeah.
You know, all of us want help. All of us have some level of fear and separation with each other. Concept, I love this. He says, what is a concept but a thought to which its maker gives a meaning of its own? A concept is a thought that you have that you give a meaning to. So any thoughts that you're having, that you're the one making up the meaning of it, that's your concept. So if you're having a thought about love and then you're making up the meaning of it, that's your concept of love. If you have a thought about sex and then you make up your meaning of it, that's your concept of sex. If you have a thought about success and you make up what that means, that's your concept of success. Okay? So the Course says, well, it's concepts that maintain the world. So what maintains the world is all the concepts we've made up. But there's no concept that we could ever make up that would really demonstrate that this is real.
Well, how do we know it's real?
To realize all of the concepts are made within the world. All of our concepts are born in the shadow of the world. All of our concepts grow in the world's ways. And all of our concepts finally mature into the world's thought. Because the concepts that we have are just ideas of idols painted with the brushes of the world, which can't make a single picture representing the truth. So your concept of yourself is meaningless because no one here can see what your concept of yourself is for. See, if you have a concept of yourself, it's totally meaningless to me because I can't see it. Your concept of yourself, I cannot see it. You know, if I hadn't told you what was going on within me, in most cases you wouldn't have known
right.
it. So that's why I know my anger is a concept.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I know an anger is a concept is because it's a thought that I'm having that I'm giving a meaning of my own, and that meaning that I'm giving it is what's making me mad. So therefore, my anger and my concept of myself is meaningless because none of you can see what my concept of myself is for.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see my concept of myself. I can't see your concept of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we know it's not real. If every one of us was sitting up here and we didn't know anything about each other and we were all dressed the same way, you basically couldn't tell what a person's vocation is. So therefore, you know a vocation is nothing but a concept of yourself that's not real. It's not real because nobody knows about it until you tell them. If you don't know I love you unless I tell you, then the love we have for each other is just concepts of love. Because if it was real, I wouldn't have to tell you. I'd be showing you. You see it. You feel it. I'd be it.
So.
Any questions about paragraph 7?
what's going on for me is that last week when you said self-concept is really ego.
Mm-hmm. It's another term for ego.
Another term for ego.
Right.
And usually the world nods when we want to project everything out there.
Mm-hmm.
There is no out there. Everything is within. Our perception should be within. So I guess what I'm getting is that my ego is within me.
Right.
My self-concept is all I've made up.
Right.
That's it. And it's not out there. It's in here.
And the reason why he calls it an idol...
So that's, I made up my own idol of myself.
Right. That your concept is your idol.
And my ego.
And it's the same thing.
Same thing.
Okay.
Same thing.
Same thing.
But it's all within.
It's all within. Okay.
It's not out there.
It's not out there. As a matter of fact, the one thing you're going to find out is there's nothing out there.
They didn't do anything to me.
It's nothing out there. There's nothing out there.
Right.
The only thing you're seeing is thoughts that you're giving meaning to. When you look at me, you're not, I guarantee you all don't know me.
Right.
You don't know me. I don't know you. I don't know you. All I know is what I told myself about you. That's all I know about you. All I know about any of you is how I've reacted to you.
Right.
So when I think about you, I'm just thinking about how I feel about you and how I react to you. And that's all I know about anybody. When you look through the past, you're not remembering how people felt about you. You're just remembering how you felt about them.
Yeah.
You don't even know how the people in your past really felt about you. You just know how you felt about them. So if I felt good about you, when I think about the past with you, I'm going to have, oh, me and Bonnie had a good time. For all I know, Bonnie could have been praying I never called. But since I enjoyed Bonnie, I just projected into it that she enjoyed me. The truth is, I don't know her reactions. I don't know you all's reactions to anything that I'm saying right now. And I certainly can't go by the outer because that's your representative. That's who's sitting up there now, is the representatives. Mm-hmm. That's relaying the message back to you. So your representatives are going...
I'm looking for my mighty companion.
Oh, he meant that. He meant this. I give that what he said this meaning. I'm giving what he says that meaning. I'm feeling this way about what he says. This is what I believe he said. This is what I'm interpreting he said. This is what I feel like he means. And I'm going to relay that back to Earl. Isn't that scary?
Yeah, that is.
And then Earl acts on the information his representative gives him. That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
That's frightening. Suppose your life had been saved by a person that looked like me. Then you'd be like, oh, wow, my interpretation of him as a representative is that he's a really good guy based on my past experiences in which a man like that looked like he saved my life. One time I was stranded on the highway and a nice black guy came and helped me. And I like to use race as just another way to teach. And one of the ways you can get in touch with any racism that you have is how uncomfortable you feel when anybody mentions race. And if you feel uncomfortable, then you have some degree of racism, which we all do. And anybody that said they don't, then they're not. What are you doing in a world where there's so much of it if you're so different? Well, just to rescue everybody because I'm the face of innocence. I have none of the qualities of anybody that I'm around. I am the savior. Okay. But when you admit an illusion, you dispel the illusion. So the person who wants to lose racism would be the person who admitted that they had it in their self-concept and in their concept of others. Right? Because I'm making it up, so if I'm not willing to see that I made it up, then I won't see that I can learn something else. So just like this, there's a question. Those of you who think you are winning, I have a question for you. Have you been taught, or is it a common general thought among women that the concept is that men primarily want one thing? Who would be willing to admit to that? Okay. And have you met men who just wanted one thing?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all don't see the connection?
I see.
You see the connection? You see the connection? The connection is, if that, right, thank you. Thank you very much. We all seek it out. We just hate it when it's the wrong person. That's what we get upset about. You know, I want you to hit on me if I want you to. It's when I don't want the attention that I'm all upset about it. You know, it's because, like Paul was saying, these are concepts that we worship to the point that they now become idols, that we'd rather believe the stuff that we were taught than the new stuff we're being taught. And that's your idol. Your idol is whatever it is you are so invested in that even though it doesn't bring you peace, you still hang on to it. That's your idol. And he says our biggest idol is our concept of who we think we are. When you start messing with a person's self-image is when they start getting uncomfortable and when they start becoming afraid of you. Because there's nothing we cherish more than our idea of what we think is true and who we think we are. Okay. So, poor things, it's just 7:32.
Oh, dear.
This isn't fun. This isn't fun. Anybody else? This is no fun. Who is it having some fun? Anybody in there having some fun? Okay, all right. Please raise your hand so I'll know who you are, because I want to make sure I connect with you.
Yeah.
Please, because I find the face of innocence to be a burden.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard trying to keep up the face of innocence, so I'd just rather just go ahead and admit it, you know,
underneath,
because it's just a burden to me.
Thank you. I feel that way too. Yeah, anybody?
And it's a burden to be around somebody who's arrived at that about themselves. Because you can't teach them anything.
Oh,
they know it.
If a person walks in and their concept is, I'm afraid, number one, and I believe that this is a bunch of crap. Well, then, that concept is going to be what they see the whole experience through. Mm-hmm. So they're going to give that meaning to everything that they hear, and nothing that they hear will have any meaning for them, but they don't know it doesn't have any meaning for them because they decided it wasn't when they walked in the door. Mm-hmm. I love how the Course says, there are many answers you've been given, you just haven't heard them yet. Mm-hmm. You have it, you just haven't heard it.
Yeah.
And he says, but don't worry about it. The answer will be waiting for you when you're ready to hear it. But then he tells us, don't wait for anybody else. Because they'll hear it when they're ready to hear it. They will hear it at their proper time. So you don't stop your awakening. So it's not like you walk in on the path and then you get way ahead of the person and then you stop until they catch up with you.
Why would you do that?
That's real common, though. We think that's nice. Like, you're ready to go to another level of action and consciousness and being, but let's say you're surrounded by people who don't want to do that, and you think there would be something wrong with you going ahead and living your truth at the level that you know it right now because you're leaving somebody behind.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, when you live your truth as you are right now, that's the same as carrying them with you. Carrying them with you is you being you, and acting from what you know, because then I benefit from that knowledge. So you really helped me by going ahead being what you know to be true, than waiting for me to agree or to know what you're saying is true. You and me are hungry. I can fish. You don't know how to fish. Do you want me not to fish until you learn how? Or would you like me to fish right now so we can eat tonight? Dun, 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 dun. I think you want me to fish. Okay, so if you know you're more conscious, if you know you're more aware of something than somebody around you, don't you be dumb yourself down so that you will make them okay. And try to wait till they come to that conclusion for themselves so you don't live your truth because you've stopped and waiting for them to live theirs or to agree with yours. That's just like me not fishing and feeding both of us by waiting until you learn how to fish. Then I'll fish with you. I'll fish for both of us while you learn how to fish. I'll eat faster. So actually it's to my advantage. I starve waiting for you. You see, there's love available to you right now. There's all the love you can imagine right now. There's a perfect relationships for you right now. But you're looking back. Look straight into the present. Love that. Okay, so.
So I have an angry question.
Well, I'm the guy to ask. Yeah, what's your anger question?
You just made a wonderful, beautiful statement about look straight into the present. So, I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking right into the present.
Mm-hmm.
And in the present, that anger isn't there. But I'm angry. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So where is the, I guess the question is, you're in it. So how are you healing yourself? And how are we supporting you to heal yourself?
By creating a safe place for me to be in it without anybody trying to fix me and being completely safe for me to let it up and let it be released. You helped me by me feeling safe enough to say what I was feeling, because the truth is, it's just a call for love. The truth is, the love is in the present. It's like in the moment, in this moment, there's nothing to be angry about. So if I was in the present, there's no reason to be angry because I'm not being attacked.
By us. But what about, I'm pissed off. I'm angry right now. So that voice is still, like, present, even though we're not attacking you.
But let me tell you, attack is physical. And so,
I'll give you a hug.
Okay, well, that's what I'm talking about. All right, okay.
They're hot with hatred.
They're favorite.
See how that happened right now?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the way it works, you all. It's not after the next workshop, in a sense. It's not after the next book. It's not after the next analyzation. It's not after the next wondering if the person deserves it. It's like, I say I'm afraid. I got a call for love. He says, can I give you a hug? That's all I wanted. But you know,
yeah.
But it seems like it's the hardest thing in the world for people to do. Because my concept of myself is not one that would allow me to do that. My concept of myself would not allow me to get out of the chair and say, hey, let me give you a hug. My concept of myself is that, first of all, I didn't hear it, or I didn't recognize it, or I don't feel it, or what, I'm afraid, I'm bashful. See, all these are concepts. And all these concepts keep us from healing with each other. And you have to be strong enough to hear what your concept has to say to you and still go ahead and get what you want. And then he says, the Course says, whenever you're in any situation and you're trying to figure out what to do, all you do is ask one question. What do I want? If I'm trying to figure out what to do with you, I should say to myself, what do you want, Earl? What do you want to come to you? Because what I want to come to me is what I should do for you. So if you treat other people the way you treat yourself and you don't love yourself, you're going to abuse other people. Because you're going to always give people what you think you deserve. That's just a universal law. You can't get around it. Your whole day is you giving what you think you deserve. But it looks like we're giving it to somebody else because of something somebody else did. because that's what the world teaches us. So every time we're together, we have another opportunity to give to ourselves what we want to receive. And it should be easiest with each other because we probably don't have a lot of grievances or personal history with each other. So if I can't practice it with the people I'd barely have grievances with, do I really think I'm going to walk out of the door and practice with the guy that abused me when I was a child? No. It's like walking into a gym and going, all right, give me the 500-pound barbells the first day, and I'm guaranteed to do it. It'd be a lot easier to say, give me 5 pounds. Oh, shoot. Or give me 10. Oh, shoot. We can do it in easy situations. It strengthens our ability to do it in those situations that's not so easy. But you're not going to go straight from not answering calls for love or recognizing them to seeing it in the person that you got the greatest grievance with. So it doesn't work that way. And that's the way our ego tells us it works. I'm going to lift a 500-pound barbell, and I've never picked up a 5-pound barbell. I can't forgive you for taking my parking space, but I can forgive you for robbing me. Come on now. Thank you, brother. The concept of yourself is meaningless, but no one here can see what the concept of yourself is for, and therefore no one can picture what your concept of yourself is. Yet, is all learning that the world directs begun and ended with the single aim of teaching you this concept of yourself. So from the time you were born, everything is trying to teach you a concept of yourself that you will choose. Here's the concept. The concept is that you will choose to follow this world's laws and beliefs and never seek to go beyond this world's roads and never realize the way you are seeing yourself. Now must the Holy Spirit find a way to help you. Now must the part of you that loves you and created you, says that part of us must find a way to help us see that this concept we have of ourselves must be undone if you're going to have any peace of mind. If I'm going to have any peace of mind, my concept of myself of being angry must be undone. If I'm going to ever have peace, my concept of myself of being broke, if that's what the concept has to be undone. If I'm ever going to have peace, my concept of myself of being sick or weak or lonely, these concepts have to be undone. If any peace of mind, if you're going to have any peace of mind, these concepts of yourself must be undone. He says, nor can it be unlearned, okay, except by lessons aimed to teach you you are something else. So how do you get past this concept of yourself that keeps you from having a totally fulfilled life? You must have something teaching you that you're something else other than what you think you are. So the Course is teaching us that we are something else more than what we think we are. So the Course doesn't erase your concept of yourself with reality. The Course says you always erase an illusion with an illusion. Now, what does that mean? I have to replace my concept of myself that doesn't allow me to be as powerful and brilliant and beautiful and fulfilled as I want to be with the concept of myself that is about the love and the power and the beauty and the brilliance and the truth of who I am. I've got to replace one concept of myself with another concept of myself. I need to be taught another concept of myself. I need a brand new concept of myself. And so when we come together, it's so that we can learn a new concept of ourselves that's not based on fear, separation, guilt, attack, and loneliness. So we have to actually come to a class and hear concepts of us that we haven't learned, and hear concepts of us that we may not believe, hear concepts of ourselves that doesn't necessarily move us because we don't believe it. In other words, we are training our minds. And we're training our minds in a new way. But in the beginning, it'll sound like you're hearing stuff that you don't really get excited about or don't really believe or don't really hear. Like you're innocent. Completely. That you're guiltless. Completely. That you're loved. Completely. That you deserve to be happy. Completely. That abundance is your natural state. Completely. That you have right, beautiful relationships that are available to you completely. Even if it's a part of my mind, I say, you have beautiful relationships. Yeah, right. You can always have the abundance that you deserve. Yeah, you didn't see my bank account. You know, it's like, yeah. You let your ego, you let your old concept of yourself respond in any way it wants to respond, but you keep on telling yourself the new concept. So who is it that's giving you the most concept training in your life? You are. Who's talking to you all day long? You are. So the Course says, resign right now as your own teacher. Because you've been badly taught. That's what and all you have to do is look at the result of the way you taught yourself to know it's true. And happiness that you have sometime, just because something seemed to go the way you wanted to, is not the happiness that the Course is talking about. It's talking about a happiness that cannot be shaken by anything in this world. That nothing can shake it.
The thing that amazes me is how ingrained in us this is.
Mm-hmm. What is?
I've heard this blaming other people.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. Many times.
Uh-huh.
And it's automatic.
Uh-huh.
It's your fault. It's whose fault? It's your fault. It's your fault.
I love it if you just change. Mm. If you just spoke and acted a little differently.
It's so automatic.
Well, that's what the Course is saying. That is what the world teaches you from the moment that you're born. So, of course. Okay, so let me throw a question out to y'all. Then, who brought you here? What brought you here? Because your concepts and the concepts we've learned are exactly opposite of everything you've heard me say. What brings you to this class? What brings you here?
No, it's not right.
What?
Knowing it's not right.
And what part of you would know that? Would it be the part of you that learned what the world taught?
No.
No. Which means there's got to be another part of us that exists, obviously, that we don't know about. And that's the one we're trying to get in touch with, because that's the one that loves us. And that's the one that brings us here. That's what the Course calls the Christ within. It's just the part of you that is interested in truth classes and recognizing what's true and going beyond your ego. Because it's not your ego that comes to a Course class. It's your ego that wonders why in the hell you're here when you get here. It's your ego that be going, what did I do? What? I need to be seeing Grey's Anatomy. What's the? How did I end up in here? And then Holy Spirit came up with the thing that just woke the ego out. DVRs and VCRs and stuff like that. We learned how to, they call it time shifting. And that's exactly what we're learning how to do. We're learning how to time shift. Where we'll have it when we want it. And in the meantime, we can do what we want to do. So I want to be here. If I want to watch it, I can watch it later. See, the truth is even permeating technology if you see it correctly. You know, if I need to be reminded of how loving I am, I could Google it. And it would be more information would come back to me telling me how beautiful I am than I could ever get around to reading it. Just Google positive affirmations. That's using technology. That's the Holy Spirit using technology to save us, where we are using it for our old self-concepts. So we're here to give each other a new concept of who we are, and that's that we're the holy sons of God. We're the innocent minds of love. We're that spirit that permeates everything, that never dies, that is complete love. Do I believe that through and through? Of course not. But that doesn't make it untrue. Okay, I'm going to stop here before I get mad at you. nice. I don't feel nice. We're going to do a love offering.
How about a hot hatred offering?
I'm going to get a hot hatred offering.
Wow.
It's sobering, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you from the sides of my heart. And even if you have to feel like you need to fake it with everybody else, and I understand that, you know, let me know how you feel. Practice being yourself and just being accepted for the way you are and the way you feel in that moment. So don't tell me you feel good if you don't. Because I remember who you are regardless of how you feel. That's what you need. You need somebody who does not forget the truth about you, even when you forget. That's what we need. And you need to be somewhere and somebody you can really be how you feel without feeling like you're going to lose or you're going to be attacked or you're going to be seen as weird. And if you want to guarantee that your call for love will not be recognized, just continue not to recognize anyone else's. And that's not a punishment. That's not a threat. That's just a fact. And see your own unhappiness or sadness if it comes up as your call for love, your call for help. This section is a monster. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is we're going to invoke all the cool stuff we can possibly think of from every level possible, from every kind of entity of love and peace in the whole friggin' universe. Anybody willing?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Would you cut the lights down for me over there and right behind you over there? Let's take it. We got the Christmas tree so we can.
Oh, yeah.
No lights.
Yeah.
Wow. You want this one on her?
Yeah, thank you.
Healing from all sexual woundedness and shame. I invoke and liberate worldwide release of all manipulating forces and beings who would control humanity past, present, and future. I invoke the angels and ascended masters to realign and heal all misused energy to include the full restructuring of our DNA. I invoke and dream away the transmutation of all negative and judgmental projections. I invoke and dream away my constant ability to be centered and balanced in my psychic perceptions and empathic nature. All overwhelming psychic energies are released by me automatically, easily, effortlessly. I am empowered by everything. I invoke and dream away my lucid dreaming each night I sleep and total remembering when I awake. I invoke and dream away my infinite harmony with God, Goddess I am. I invoke and dream away the full expression of my miraculous healing power. My life is a continuous stream of miracles. I invoke and dream away my infinite ability and willingness to receive all life's blessings. I invoke and dream away the constant attitude of gratitude for my whole life, all my accomplishments and blessings, including the same for the universe at large. I invoke and dream away the full blessings of God, Goddess, the ascended masters, angels, guides, and beings of light to bless this earth. I invoke and dream away all my decrees, invocations, and prayers I have released to the universe and open myself to God's response, support, and love in my highest good. I invoke and dream away the release of all past, present, and future lifetimes of decrees and vows which would bind me to limitation, lack, density, and anything not essential in this now. I invoke and dream away the full reclaiming of my eternal self as powerful, loving, and fully aligned in abundant God consciousness. I invoke and dream away the total dissolving of all manipulating forces which would bind this earth and in here. I invoke and dream away the influence of the ascended master realm and angels to intercede and raise the vibrations higher to bring darkness into the light, raising the frequency of love and God consciousness on planet Earth in this now. I invoke and dream away the ascension of planet Earth in this now.
So, did y'all get that? Okay, you can turn the lights back on.
TV is enough.